Okay, we're going to cover a few more of these things that everybody thinks is true that may not be true or false. Now, I've got just a little bit more to add on soul contact. We talked about two people who get together in the name of Christ. It says, there am I in the midst of them. And what this implies is that these two people will be one through the Spirit of Christ. But we didn't really cover all the details about how that oneness can be achieved. If two people who are people of good intent and good decent people disagree with each other, how can they reach union through the soul? How is that possible? Yeah.
Somebody has to have a willingness to be wrong. Probably both of them.
Right, both of them would be ideal. But that's the trouble, is often people can't express have a willingness to be wrong because they think that this particular ideal they have is right no matter what, they're unwilling to change. But let's suppose they are willing to change. Two people that are willing. Well, do you have something to say, Mike? What is the name of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for the sake of the discussion here, the scripture I quoted where two people, there am I in the midst of them, if they meet together in the name of Christ, would be the name of oneness, so to speak, in this context.
Okay.
Yeah. But the name of Christ has different meanings depending on, you know, context it's used. But, we've talked about kind of the problems are in the way. They need to be somewhat open. Okay, we have two people that are open to, okay, I could be wrong, you could be wrong. Now, one of the problems with this is I found that almost everybody you talk to thinks, yeah, I could be wrong, but I'm not. That's kind of the attitude most of us have. Yeah, I could be wrong, but I'm not. In other words, yeah, I know I'm not wrong. I could be. I'm willing to be, but I'm just not wrong. But it takes more than that. A person has to be entirely open to the fact that he could be wrong, and that's really difficult for people to change that mindset, to actually be open to the fact that they're wrong. I mean, just look at the Democrats and Republicans today. Neither side is the slightest bit open to the fact that the other side could be right on almost anything.
You have the same understanding, then you usually have the same opinion of it. Because
yeah.
It's a logical.
Yeah, you do need a similar understanding. That's a good point. Now, this is why the principles are so important. Is because when you look at the principle behind something, then you can understand it. And if two people see the same principle, then they will achieve oneness. Where one person disagrees and the other person, where two people disagree, one of them is not seeing the principle. Now maybe one sees the principle, one doesn't, or maybe neither one of them sees the principle. If neither one of them sees the principle, union is almost impossible. If one sees the principle and the other one doesn't, then the one that sees the principle can maybe draw the picture of the principle, and once the principle dawns on the other guy, he can say, aha, I can see this. Take a principle of anything like we talked about, when I try to think of principles, even it's hard, like, say, the snowflake principle we were talking about. Everything is different. Everything that has form is a little bit different. Now, I was arguing with a nuclear physicist a while back, and he was had a doctor's degree, and he's a professor, and he thinks he's really smart. And I was teaching him this principle, and I said, yeah. I says, every neutron is different. Even though a neutron doesn't have a charge, I says, there will be a very slight pull, even on a neutron or even on something like a gold atom, which apparently doesn't form molecules with other atoms, you know.
And he disagreed vehemently. He says, no, that's impossible. He says, gold atoms have no charge. And so I found these Japanese scientists. They actually photographed some gold atoms with a new type of microscope they have. And it showed these gold atoms on the edge of the gold. This atom was flicking back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I showed him that picture, and I says, how can these atoms move back and forth and back and forth and back and forth if there's no current of any kind involved there? He says, well, you don't understand. You don't know what you're talking about. So it's interesting that he wasn't open to the snowflake principle, that everything has a little bit different variety to it. But if once you understand the principle, then you understand that how it works. That every, for instance, with the snowflake principle, everything is a little bit different form, a little bit different charge, a little bit different weight. No two grains of sand are exactly alike. No two humans are exactly alike. That's the principle. But this guy had it in his mind that all neutrons and all gold atoms and so on were just exactly alike. And he's a established professor and has a doctor's degree and everything. So because I had none of these, he thought I didn't know what I was talking about, because he could not see the principle. So the first thing to do to reach oneness is see the principle together. And when you see the principle together, then you're very close to the true reality. But the trouble is, there's often a bunch of different principles involved. Let's take one of the biggest political differences that is out there is the gravitation towards socialism and away from socialism. Okay, we have these two poles, toward big government and socialism, and away from big government and socialism. Now, they say on one side, they say, well, this will help the poor and bring unity and harmony and equality to everybody. And these are all good things. As a matter of fact, there's principles involved amongst all these things. And in the other way, they say, well, this will bring greater freedom and bring forth greater initiative and greater...